Couple things I'd like for you to do. If you've got a Bible, I'd love for you to take those out. I'd love for you to find two places tonight. But I want to give you a challenge. If you're up for a challenge, I'd love for you to read a passage for tomorrow night, maybe in all the free time they give you, right? Just all the free time y'all have in the day just to do things. So tonight I'd love for you to find Romans chapter 12, Colossians chapter 3, but then tomorrow, if you have time or you're wanting some challenge, I'd love for you to read Malachi chapter 2. So tonight we'll be in the New Testament, tomorrow night we'll be in the Old Testament. Let me just say real quick, it's an honor to be with you. I appreciate the invitation to come back again. Last year I had the privilege of sharing here about how to teach kids and share with kids about the gospel. I had an absolute blast being with you guys. I was so happy to be invited back again. But this opportunity came with a little extra blessing. On Friday and Saturday, I hung out with a good group of the camp pastors. Stephen, where's Stephen at? Over Stephen, I missed him. There's Stephen right there. He took the hat off. I lost the hat. Daniel was there. I think Kyle, he's already out of here, right? Where's Henry, a.k.a. Captain Coach Hank, right there? I got to see him and a few other camp pastors. One of the fun things about this summer is you're going to be hearing some of the things that God laid on my heart and how God is using your camp pastors to communicate that. I had the privilege of having just a small part in the sermons for the evening sessions. And so God was gracious enough to give me the opportunity to write some of the messages about Daniel that your camp pastors will be preaching, along with their own take and their own Holy Spirit inspired words. But you'll hear a little bit of that later on this summer. I would like to say, you probably have already memorized two verses. I hope you have memorized two verses. The key verses of the summer, the verses that are on the back of your shirts, at least the references on the back of your shirts. I hope you have memorized Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, but you must have it memorized according to the Holman Christian Standard Bible, right? Oh, no ESV in Lifeway, friends. You got to put away the NIV or NLT. You must have it memorized based on the HCSB. So we're gonna read it here once to make sure you have memorized it. And we're going to play a little game to see if you have it memorized according to the HCSB. So let's read it together out loud. We ready? Here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. I get to be with CK2. This summer. So CK2, here's your challenge. Here's your challenge. Let's go to CK2's challenge. CK2, y'all ready? We're CK2 right there. Sarah, I see you. Can you do it with the blanks? Here we go. Let's try it together, CK2. Just them. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed. Good, come on. By the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what God... perfect will of God. I'm still quoting it from the NIV. I gotta work on this too. Well, this one I would like just the ladies. Next level, just the ladies in the house. Here we go, ladies. I'm not a lady, so you guys can do this. Here we go. Therefore, Excellent. Fellas, here you go. Let's do it, fellas. Close your Bibles. Close your Bibles. Here we go. We got it, fellas. Close the Bibles. We ready? Here we go. Therefore, brothers. Right? Come on. Spiritual. Good. Okay. Does anybody else feel like they just watched a train collide? I mean, it was good at the beginning, and then we kind of got into the mumble chorus, and then really, really, this group, y'all were strong, fellas. This group was strong. CK2, sorry, that wasn't the best. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is your theme. I was asked tonight to share a little bit about what it means, but try to bring it out of the philosophical or the theological and bring it to the practical. So if you just take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, you're going to see that Paul, in his masterful, Holy Spirit-inspired manner, is comparing two things. If we were to ask Paul, maybe one day in heaven, if we were to share a time with him over a cup of coffee, and we said, listen, you had a message to the Romans, to the church in Rome. You had a message that you wanted to give them. You gave them a rather long book, a rather long letter, but there is in this central place, those of you who are Bible scholars and love the commentaries all say that Romans 1 through 11 is the theological portion of Romans. Starting in chapter 12, there is a transition where it gets to the practical, the ethical, the daily living, so that when we read later on in Romans 12, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It says, do not have revenge for one another, for God takes care of our vengeance. It talks about the relationships that we are to have. If you read later in Romans chapter 16, the whole chapter is Paul speaking about people he loves and knows and admonishing them to continue in their service. We read in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, the one mention of the deaconess, Phoebe. We read and later on in that passage, these men that we will come to know, Eutychus, we read about in the book of Titus and in Timothy. You see, the end of Romans is the more personal. The beginning of Romans is the more theological. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 becomes the hinge that turns the book, turns the letter from the theological to the personal. And he captures the message in these two verses. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your lives as a living sacrifice. Therefore, brothers and sisters, by God's mercy, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, present, offer, give your life as a living sacrifice, holy, righteous, blameless, pure, perfect, full of integrity, full of honesty, full of truth. Make it so that it is a living sacrifice. Make it a spiritual act of worship. Lay yourself down at the altar of God. I beg you. Plead with you. I beseech you. Don't be conformed. Don't look alike. Don't be a replica. Don't be a match to the pattern of this age. Don't look like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't speak like the world. Be transformed. Be different. Be opposite. Be countercultural. Stand out. Go against the flow. All the things that you can take from the word transformed, think opposite. And you will do this by the continual renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what the good and pleasing and perfect will of God is. It's a comparison between Christ gospel living and the world. It's a comparison between holiness and worldliness. It's like Paul is giving us a pros and cons list. You see, there's a holiness and a worldliness that you battle with every single day. It shows up in your theological beliefs. Recently, I was sitting down with a 20-year-old. His dad is a preacher, I guess, a professor here of New Testament and Greek. We were sitting down in a cafe while I was in Greece, and I began asking him, what did he believe about creation? And over the course of a meal, I found out that his view of creation was theistic evolution. He's a believer in Jesus. He attends church every Sunday, plays in a worship band, phenomenal musician, gifted young man. But he told me, I can't believe Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is truth. I believe it's poetry. It's symbolism. It's God giving an epic story, and we are only getting but fragments of truth. Holiness versus worldliness. His beliefs about creation impacted his beliefs about the exclusivity of the gospel of Jesus. I asked him point blank, I said, do you believe Jesus is the only way in which we can receive salvation and be one day in heaven? It's the question I would ask you. CKers, y'all better be able to answer that question. His answer to me was, Dr. Garrison, I want to believe it, but I don't know if I can believe it. Holiness, worldliness, and theological beliefs. Holiness and worldliness in moral convictions. You know, one of the things I love about your generation is that y'all are the friendliest bunch. You love people more than most. You're generous. You're kind. You're empathetic. You're sympathetic. You're compassionate. But you will not, for the life of you, become judgmental. You will not say there are absolute rights and absolute wrongs. You will not say there is absolute truth and absolute lies. You will live in the in-between. And I struggle at times to understand, how do you do that? When the woman or the young man you're dating says something along the lines of, it's okay for us to be sexually active, it's okay for us be involved physically, because 92% of people are sexually active prior to marriage. There's only 8% of Americans, first-time marriages, that are virgins. There is no absolutes. It's all gray. Actually, it's not only that it's just in that area, it's in all areas. I find at times, and you may struggle with this, that you can feel kindness and gentleness and patience and forgiveness of folks, but when it comes to naming sin, sin, you struggle. Holiness versus worldliness and moral convictions, character. Yeah, I see it all the time in attitudes, biases, prejudices, stereotypes. Now, you guys are not normally at fault. You're the most inclusive, the most tolerant, the most accepting of all walks of life, of all manner of living. You are really kind of on the, hey, we're all in this together mindset. But do y'all know that as believers in Jesus, you cannot be that forever? There must come lines in the sand. There must come moments when you say, truth is truth, and sin is sin. Do not be like the world, for the things of this world are fading away. The Bible says we got to choose holiness over worldliness in our attitudes. It's our whole worldview. Paul wants to make clear the distinction between the two. This summer, you have the challenge of making that distinction with children and with leaders between holiness and worldliness. But it really comes down to this evening. That feels a lot like a skyscraper perspective. It feels like we've raised up above Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we've looked down on it from a range of an elevation from a mountaintop. I want to get down into some business. I want to get down into some nitty-gritty. Is that okay? Can I step into your daily life? Will you give me permission to come into your world, to get into your closet, to check what's in your duffel bag? I saw y'all unloading yesterday, and some of you have packed for a couple days. Others of you have packed for a couple years. Fellas, y'all brought in bigger luggage than the ladies. What does that say? We got some fellas who like to look good. That's all it has said. Multiple changes of clothes. If I could go into your closet, and if I could look to see what you possibly have packed, what possibly you have brought, I think I might find Colossians chapter 3. I think I might find, if I was allowed to step into your world, I might find some garments from Colossians chapter 3. You see, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is the skyscraper view. I want to go down to the street level. I want to go into your closet. I want to go into your duffel bag. I want to go into your bedroom and see what's really in your life. See, Colossians chapter 3 takes it out of the ethereal or the philosophical or the theoretical. It takes it out of the big picture and gets it down to the street level where we actually live. And Paul writes this in Colossians chapter 3. He says in verse 1, "So you have been raised with Christ. Seek what is above, where Jesus is, seated at the right hand of God." Verse 2, "Set your minds on the things that are above, not on what is from the earth." Holiness, worldliness. He says in verse 3, "For you have died." Every one of you have died if you know Jesus. "And your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Let me capture that for you. Here are you. You died in the tomb, and now your life is hidden with God in Christ. So no longer do you represent you. You are but three deep from God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, then you. Your life is now hidden, the Bible says, Colossians says, Paul says. And when, verse 4, the Jesus, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Now watch this, verse 5. Therefore, say with me, put to death. Put to death. Say with me, put to death.
Put to death.
Therefore, put to death that which is in you that is worldly. Put to death that which in you is worldly. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desire and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now on, you must also put away, say, put to death. You must put away all of the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its practices. Say, put to death. In your life, are you putting to death these things? If you just look at this list, it's pretty descriptive of every college campus. Amen. Y'all see any of this on your campuses? I teach here at Campbellsville University. Man. I teach in the School of Theology. I teach people primarily going into ministry. And I see every one of those on a daily basis. We're not immune to these, are we? We're not somehow above these. We're not somehow immutable, or these just bounce off of us. These are things that we all battle, amen? We got to put them to death. If you just look at our culture, you will see sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, I don't know, 24 hours a day. Would that be a pretty fair estimate? Right now, True Love Waits has found that 78% of the people who signed the cards didn't make it. Right now, in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, how many of you drove through Elizabethtown, maybe coming up from Nashville? There's a casting call for a TLC cable TV show called The Virgin Diaries. They're having a casting call to try to find 26, 27, 28-year-old virgins who are engaged and still have not been with each other. It's an anomaly. They had to put it out in the Baptist paper to get people to audition for the show. Apparently, auditioning is not going that well. Right now, today, Amazon and Kindle released their top 3 bestsellers for the e-reader, Kindles. You know what the top 3 are? It's not The Hunger Games, which, come on, you got to love some Hunger Games, right? Come on. Love them. Katniss, come on. PETA. It's not Twilight. It's called Mommy Porn. It's erotica that women can download for free or for a price, but anonymously. Several years ago, and I don't mean to make light of this, but several years ago here on our campus, Campbellsville University, Little Baptist campus in central Kentucky, we noticed in our retention and our recruitment that there was a break from 1 year to the next, meaning we were going up and up and up in attendance and recruitment and students who wanted to come, and then there was this drastic fall, this plummet, and it wasn't new students that didn't come in. It was returning students chose not to come back. And we couldn't figure out what was going on until our IT guy said, I think I know what happened. That was the year the internet filter got put on the campus servers. It impacted our retention rate because porn was not available in the dormitories and over the Wi-Fi. If I lined up 10 18-year-olds, 18-year-old young men, if I lined up 10 of them here, and I know some of you may be 18, some of you may be 19, but if I line up 10 19 or 18-year-old guys right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9 out of 10 of them will have viewed porn in the last 30 days. The average age of first exposure for men to pornography is age 8. You know who that is? That's your third graders this summer. That's the average. You can be assured every boy probably that attends Center Kid Camp this summer, on average, has been exposed. Do you understand the world we live in? Since 2008, every business sector has been impacted. Every business sector has been impacted. Cars, manufacturing, clothing, technology. Only one business sector has not been impacted with the economic downturn. The adult film industry. The only one that withstood. You understand what culture we live in? Even some of you, probably are battling in the area of impurity and lust, sexual immorality. I'm thankful that Chris and the band sang, Jesus paid it all. Lo, sin has left a crimson stain. Her culture is leaving a stain on you. It's leaving a stain on me. This is the world we live in. And that's just the first four. Greed. Man. On y'all's campus, is anybody greedy? Money hungry? All about the Benjamins? Is anybody on your campus angry? Anybody in your apartment complex got issues of slander? Malice? Any of you been attacked on Facebook or Twitter? Any of you received some sort of backstabbing on a public forum? Any of your BFFs done you wrong? Man, I see it every day. I was walking through my halls one day. Druin Hall, School of Theology. Some of you are training in there. And within one hallway visit, School of Theology. Now, we have a lot of students in there. I heard the F-bomb, MF, SH, GD, all within about 3 minutes during a change of class. In the hallowed halls of the School of Theology. Now, I'm praying it wasn't my students who are preparing to go into ministry, but I am not naive. I'm not dumb. Filthy language, lying. I wonder if your garments be descriptive of that. So what does Paul say we got to do that? Verse 5, what did he say? Put it to death. Kill it, murder it, destroy it. In exchange, he says in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on something different. Put on something different. Wear something different. Change the garment. Put on instead heartfelt compassion. Put on a prop that works. There we go. High-tech props here, Lifeway Camp. I built this myself. Put on, he says. He says, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, what does he say? Put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, let the peace of Jesus, to which you were called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about Jesus dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. You got to put on some things And you got to put to death some things. You got to destroy some things in your life, and you got to take on some things. These are not in, they are incompatible with each other. So let me just share with you. It is a battle. It is a war. It is an absolute physical, spiritual, personal Braveheart moment. Y'all have seen Braveheart, right? British Army on one side, Scottish Army on the other side. What do they do in the middle? Collide. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 7. You may just want to notice in some time, read it. The things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I do want to do, I don't do. He says in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, it's like a war is waging inside my flesh. I am drawn to sin and I am drawn to God, and things are at war within me. Are any of you in a war? You better believe you're in a war. And your soul is at war with your flesh. You got to put on some things. And you got to put to death some things. But you got to do it in a way that's authentic. Let me finish with this. Last week I was on a trip. I mentioned it already. We went to Istanbul, Turkey. And right outside of Istanbul, I saw this little market here. And you know what they're selling, right? Rolexes, diamond rings, jewelry, Gucci bags, Coach bags. I don't know. Is that what those are called, ladies? High-end bags. But one thing I did appreciate about the salesman, he's shooting straight with you. He's genuinely fake. His stuff ain't real, but it's genuine. You know, his stuff isn't authentic, but it's of genuine fake quality. It's not junk. It's not generic. That would be one thing. It's genuinely fake. Truth in advertising. CK, you know what you can do here this summer? You can be genuinely fake. You can play a pretty good role. I know we got actors in the room, but let's just be honest. Every one of us in this room is acting, because there's some things in our life that we want no one to know about. And there's some things in our closet that we don't want ever exposed. Skeletons in the closet, if you will. And we can put on the smile, and we can put on the shirt, and we can grab the gear, and we can have the smile, and we can have the energy, and we can be genuinely fake. Because what's going on inside is a war. What's going on inside is a battle. What's going on inside is a brave heart collision between your flesh and your spirit, holiness and worldliness. I pray, guys, that you would find a way to be accountable to one another, to hold each other up, to weigh, to remove the genuine fakeness. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Therefore, brothers, sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's great, infinite mercy, I urge you, I beg of you, I plead with you, present your lives as a living, breathing sacrifice. Lay them down, burn them, kill the flesh, put it to death, so that you can be holy and blameless and righteous and pure and honorable and truthful and full of integrity. This is your spiritual worship. This is your summer. This is your ministry. This is your camp. This is your life. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. But please be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, what is pleasing, what God's perfect will is. Let's pray. Lord, there's a battle waging in our hearts. We don't want to be genuinely fake. We want to stand before you in truth and honesty and humility and say, God, there's battle raging inside of me. Flesh versus spirit. Worldliness versus holiness. Honoring and following the pattern of this world and being holy and pleasing to you. I pray that we would be transformed. Transformed into your image and for your glory. We pray this in his name. Jesus paid it all. All to him I give. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for letting me come and be with you. Malachi chapter 2 tomorrow night. You are dismissed to your team time. Go in God's grace.